Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Got you up to date on all the twists and turns, maybe a bad choice of words, with Cooper Flagg's ankle, which was twisted yesterday. I didn't mean to do that. But he sprains his ankle yesterday, Pearl, ACC tournament. Now we got to see how it responds, what the swelling is like. Thankfully, x-ray's negative. He's the biggest star in college basketball on the men's side. And so if he is compromised at all for the NCAA tournament, love Duke, hate Duke, it's certainly a loss.
Oh my God, it's a huge loss. Somebody hit us up on X saying that we've never watched Duke if we think they're totally dependent on Cooper Flagg. Get out of here. Does anyone, even the most optimistic Duke fan, think with no Cooper Flagg, this team could make a run all the way through? Again, I was ready to fade them even with a healthy Cooper Flagg because they're so young. To me, it would be crazy to have a freshman-laden team win the national title in this era of old teams winning. They'd be an anomaly. They're going against the grain. So I know they're the number one team, but I also wonder, is that partly name recognition? Because they've beaten up a very mediocre ACC this year where all the SEC teams are battle-tested. I'm already filling out my bracket. I was going to cross out Duke in the Final Four. I don't think they can get all the way because they're young.
How are you filling out a bracket? It's not out yet.
No,
mentally. Your mental bracket?
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't have a physical bracket. But I always used to I'd get a bracket and I'd just look at where's Michigan State and put them in the eight. This year, I'm going to get a bracket. I was going to put Duke in the Final Four and have them losing in the semis. Just because I just don't think that they were built for a title with or without Flagg. But without 100% Flagg, there's no way. Maybe I disagree with that person because defensively they took a big step back without Flagg.
Yeah. Listen, he leads them in every statistical category that matters. But to be fair to Duke, they did beat Auburn. It was early in the season, so it's not just the ACC that they beat up on. But whatever, that's either here or there. But I do think that the tournament makes stars. It may not need them, but he is like the one guy I think poised to use this as even a bigger launching point to them become the number one pick in the draft. And like now we're in the Cooper Flagg era. And, you know, if he's 80%, 70%, and if Duke goes out early, then yeah, you're going to feel like you missed something a little bit. 855-212-4227. Meanwhile, Duke basketball, Dallas Cowboys football, kind of birds of a feather.
Definitely.
Teams that you love to root for, that you love to root against. And we've got a war of words that is now brewing between Micah Parsons and former Cowboy DeMarcus Lawrence. So, Manny, let's play the clip. DeMarcus Lawrence played for the Cowboys for 11 years. Did a good job. Made a lot of money. Was definitely one of the leaders of the team. He says he'll always consider Dallas home, but there was one big hang-up with the Cowboys.
Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
We here.
Oh, not going to win a Super Bowl. So Micah Parsons, Pearl, took that extremely personally because Micah Parsons can't sit one out. And he saw this clip on social media.
I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman.
He quote tweeted, said, "This what rejection and envy look like. This some clown bleep with the clown emoji," which is obviously the most devastating of the emojis. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Lawrence then responds back, "Calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left." Kapow.
So torn here.
Whose team are you on? Team Micah, Team DeMarcus?
Can I tell you, this is really hard for me for a couple reasons. You know I want Micah Parsons to come home to the Philadelphia Eagles, so I don't want to offend him if he's listening right now. But I love DeMarcus Lawrence because he wears glasses all the time, and they're really cool. And you don't get a lot of NFL guys who wear glasses like me. So that is part of it. But here's the other thing, too. I do 100% agree with DeMarcus Lawrence that the Cowboys are not going to win a Super Bowl. I think that the Jerry Jones era is handicapped. I just don't think with him being the GM, they're going to win a Super Bowl. So I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, the last shot that Micah Parsons should be tweeting less and winning more, that felt a little personal.
You think?
I don't think Micah Parsons... Here's a big question. The real question is, he too distracted to focus on football? Because when I saw him out on the field last year, he was a menace. He was really good. I think he can win. I'm not so bothered. I feel like this is a 24-year-old kind of thing. He's outspoken. He's loud. I don't think those things prevent you from winning. I do think that he's not going to necessarily win with the Cowboys the way the Cowboys are currently structured.
Yeah, I think that. Okay, so this either is just a sick burn by DeMarcus Lawrence. If you stop tweeting, maybe you'd start winning. And maybe he just really needed to like shove the knife in an internet fight and really wanted to like win the battle, which he did because Parsons did not respond to that. Or was it really a window into what teammates think about Micah Parsons? And I don't think that DeMarcus Lawrence and Parsons were actually pretty close. It looks like DeMarcus Lawrence and CeeDee Lamb were actually quite close, which is kind of fun.
Well, apparently DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons were not very close.
No, I don't think they were. Unless this is like fighting like brothers, but I don't get that.
I never would have guessed that. I mean, what defensive linemen are famously close as units? This is crazy. I don't think anyone saw this coming.
Well, maybe Micah Parsons is not, you know, maybe he didn't come in and act like a rookie. Maybe he's always had the big platform and as I said, he never sits one out. He's not shy. He's very extremely online. And maybe this is a window into what and how teammates really respond to him. Maybe they think that he is kind of, you know, distracted and not making the main thing the main thing. It's possible.
Maybe, but we've seen, listen, this is a league where Lawrence Taylor was doing whatever and winning Super Bowls. I don't think that alone is the reason they're not winning because Micah Parsons is tweeting so much. But I think it's they're an incomplete roster. They don't seem to have a cohesive plan on how they're going to get to the Super Bowl. Honestly, you can be a crazy tweeter, you can be an egomaniac and still be winning.
So, you know, a story that came across, and it kind of pops up every couple of years or maybe even every couple months, and it becomes a big deal for like 24 hours and we forget about it. And it's a story about how at the Dallas Cowboys headquarters, they do tours that come through like the weight room and the football areas. And some guys find that very like distracting and they kind of feel like they're animals at a zoo and all that. I mean, we talk about Micah Parsons and maybe teammates think he's unserious. Is it just the whole operation might seem unserious, right? Like, is that just that small story about the tours coming through? Is that just another data point where the message to your players is be famous, be appealing, be interesting, be something that people talk about, and the message isn't be a champion?
Maybe. Actually, it's so funny you bring that up because I heard Osa Digizua, the guy who just signed, talk about that story. He said that the people are in the common areas. He basically said, if that distracts you, you're not a professional athlete. He said that was the most overblown story and nobody even cares there.
Right.
So I think what you're hitting at is we just pick apart this stupid franchise to the T. Like, that story became a story. For all we know, in Houston or Tampa Bay, like, this might happen all over the place, but everything in Dallas becomes so magnified. I understand what you're saying, but I think if they won, we wouldn't care about little things like
but
that.
But they're not. Like, so, and I hate to always do the extreme where you're always comparing everything to either, like, Tom Brady or the Patriots, but the Patriots, like, I don't even think some of the players got access to places in the building. It always felt like everything was so secretive there and so buttoned up. And again, you don't have to be the Patriots to win. Kansas City does the things the way they do. But does it just sort of send the message that, you know, everything about this is unserious? 855-212-4227.
But why aren't they winning? Is it it's not like they have a Super Bowl roster necessarily that's disappointing. They make a lot of mistakes. They kept Jason Garrett for way too long. That was obvious. I think they probably hired the wrong coach this time around. They passed on Derrick Henry last year. They couldn't figure out their receiver situation forever, so triple team CeeDee Lamb. They've had Dak Prescott. I just hasn't stayed healthy. I mean, are they underperforming because they're tweeting too much, or are they just not roster building exactly the right way?
Yeah, I mean, listen, but they would probably say, listen, we won 12 games 3 years in a row. Yeah. So how can you say that our roster isn't good? But I do think there's a criticism of Dak Prescott that is completely valid, which is he doesn't play his best games in the biggest moments. And that's why the playoff stuff was always so front and center. Now, he did play one very good playoff game against the Tampa Bay Bucks that sent Tom Brady into actual real retirement. But, you know, those games against San Francisco, the game against Green Bay, he wasn't the only person who underperformed, but he didn't play well.
Well, those San Francisco defenses were pretty brutal. I kind of get that. The rest of the team, you're right, the whole team, think of the Green Bay game, the defense went out on the field and laid down and said, run over us all you want.
Yep.
Dak could have the best game in the history of the world. Green Bay, every single time they touched the ball, scored a touchdown. So it's a whole team thing. I don't know exactly what's wrong with them, but there's definitely what DeMarcus Lawrence said was probably accurate.
EJ, can you throw out a Twitter question there? Are you team DeMarcus or team Micah? 855-212-4227. We talk about Aaron Rodgers all morning because there's a report from Diana Russini that the Giants and the Steelers have both offered contracts. So those contracts are out. Looks like the Giants offered a little more desperate. But there's also a lot of mutual interest between the Vikings. And one thing that Diana said is that some of the conversations in Minnesota have been, who's going to play like the bad cop with Rodgers? Like, who's going to be the one who says, like, maybe don't do McAfee this week? Or, hey, can you stay away from this topic? Or what have you. Derek is in Baltimore. Derek, what do you think about that new report?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely stupid. So here's my thing. At the end of the day, we're all grown people.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a Niners fan. I don't have a dog in the fight either way. But what sense does it make to hire a guy and you sit there and say, someone has to be the bad cop? Why do you want someone like that on your team?
Mm-hmm.
And then think about this. Remember back in 2010, 2011, Dez Bryant with the Dallas Cowboys? Jerry Jones actually hired a security team to pretty much follow and make sure Dez Bryant didn't get out of line. If you got to do all of that for a player, why do you even want him in the building?
Well, you know the reason, Derek. You've been watching football a long time. It's because of the talent.
But and then, well, this also leads me to another conclusion. Maybe J.J. McCarthy's knee isn't healing right.
Yeah.
And one more thing before I go. As far as the Dallas Cowboys, I'm team DeMarcus Lawrence. Listen, Micah talks way too much. You know, he threw a shot out at Brock Purdy in the 49ers earlier this week as well. He came out with the tweet of having to face reality now.
Right.
So my thing is this right here. You have no room to throw any shots at San Francisco. You're winless, and you have recorded zero sacks versus the 49ers. You should not be talking. He talks way too much. It's too much social media. And I get it. This is the social media era. But if you're going to do that much talking on Twitter, podcasts, you got to back it up. and in some of the biggest games in these playoff games, he has not backed it up at all.
Derek, A-plus call. No. Don't be a stranger. That was a fun one, and you're right. As a 49er fan, you got to be like DeMarcus, or excuse me, you got to be like Micah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We've owned you.
But you got to remember, the dude has multiple responsibilities. He's also the editor-in-chief slash president of BR Gridiron. In that capacity, you got to be, you can't just be the run BR Gridiron and not be on social media. So,
imagine how many emails that is, meetings, Zooms, ugh.
By the way, that alone should be a warning sign. The guy is the head of a media outlet. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of like Steph Curry being the assistant GM of the Davidson football basketball team, right? Is he really?
I know, but it's symbolically, it speaks to what DeMarcus Lawrence is saying, that the guy is distracted. It is abnormal. His media, you know, we saw these guys out in Dubai. Justin Fields signs with the Jets, and there's a big party in Dubai. Of course, and is Micah there?
Yep.
Of course he's there.
So he's tweeting this from Dubai?
They might have come back because Fields just signed his contract here. So they're not there yet, but they were there earlier in the week.
My point is there anything that Micah Parsons is not doing? He's
last
on
year,
TV
he was in Tokyo
more than anyone.
CJ Stroud.
Taking on sumo wrestlers.
They did a show there. Like
There's two people that you hear from the most in this sports world. It's Pat McAfee, who's everywhere, and Micah Parsons.
But Pat McAfee's actually in the media.
When he was
punting for the Colts, I don't think we heard from him as much.
Exclamation point.
Is Micah Parsons going to start working for the WWE full time?
He would fit perfectly in WWE. He can talk. He's strong. He's fast.
A little short.
Is he 6'1"?
Yeah, he might be 6'3", but...
that's fine. He's good enough.
Fine.
Yeah.
Adrian's in Maryland. Adrian, are you Team Micah or Team DeMarcus Lawrence? They're in a war of words right now over whether or not Dallas will win a Super Bowl. What's up, dude?
Hey, Mac, how you doing? I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm not going to say I'm Team Micah because I'm a Cowboys fan and DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence should have never said anything. He should have just said, I'm here in Seattle. Obviously, they're not going to win the Super Bowl in Seattle either, so he can't bring that up. And as far as tour, I've been on that tour. You don't see any players. You really don't see any players. You may see a player here or there, a retired player, but you don't see them where they're in the weight room and you're sitting there watching them like a goldfish, like a fish in a pond or something like that. That's crazy. And as far as, Meg, you said they're not winning. Dallas had three seasons of 12 wins.
I know.
She said that.
Wins. I said it.
And just because they have one bad season, and it wasn't even that bad compared to the 49ers and other teams, but because we only had 7 wins, everybody...
Yeah. No, Adrian, sorry. Your connection's breaking up just a little bit. Listen, you're right. Here's the thing about the 12-win seasons, because we've said this about the Minnesota Vikings, who had 13-win seasons, and then you go out in the first round of the playoffs, and we criticize them. It's not just a Dallas thing. If you put up a gaudy regular season record, and then you lay an egg in the playoffs, I know one of the San Francisco years, two of them were in the divisional round, not the wild card round, but still, you lay these eggs in the playoffs, like, we're going to be critical whether you're the Cowboys, whether you're the Vikings, whether you're whoever.
Well, also, the Cowboys have done it again and again. I mean, San Francisco's caused a lot of problems for teams in playoffs. Like,
no doubt.
I don't kill them for losing to the Niners. The one to the Packers was embarrassing.
Yeah, 7.5-point favorite at home.
I think it was how they lost to the Niners, though. That was a little disheartening.
Like, mind fart.
Those are really, really good 49ers teams. Even
the one with Jimmy G wasn't that good.
They lost to the Rams. They kicked the Rams' butt in that game. They really should have won that game. It's, you know, at the end of the game, the Rams
felt like they were kind of winning on smoke and mirrors. Like, they went to Green Bay, didn't score an offensive touchdown, but Rodgers sucked, so they won. Like, I don't think that was like a.
I think that was not
like the 90s Cowboys.
I think that was a tough, tough defense. I mean, listen.
It was true.
You got those guys. Like, I'm not going to kill. I'm killing them for the Green Bay loss. I mean, 48 points at home.
Yeah. It set a record, 855-212-4227, and then the losing kept happening once the next season started. Okay, lots more to do, including, you're welcome to weigh in, Team Micah, Team DeMarcus Lawrence. They got into a back and forth on social media, former teammates. Also, some not-so-flattering comments about someone who just signed a massive contract extension. Yikes. Get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff Show.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. It is player movement season in the NFL, but one guy who did not move was Myles Garrett in Cleveland, but there has been more reporting on what's going on there.
Yeah, so Myles Garrett signed a, what was it, 160, $40 million a year, became the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. And I was reading an article in The Athletic by Jason Lloyd, who's been covering the Browns for a long time, and he was questioning whether it was smart for the Browns to re-sign Garrett, or should they have tried to, you know, trade him for a king's ransom and really kickstart the rebuild, right? And here's one other thing that Jason Lloyd said about Myles Garrett. He said, as far as the contract is concerned, I hope at very least, this is him, the contract brings a sense of responsibility rather than entitlement for Garrett. More. It's well known within the Browns that Garrett is frequently late to the facility. He has skipped mandatory team activities on multiple occasions. Veterans typically police the locker room on those types of things and create the culture of accountability. But here, it's the best player breaking the rules. That has to change now. Now, that's from Jason Lloyd, who covers the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. That's something you would only know if you're around the team every day.
Yeah.
Because we are outside of this, as we're national radio hosts. I didn't know that Myles Garrett was late to team meetings. I didn't know that Myles Garrett was skipping mandatory team activities. I did not understand that he sort of has this reputation of, according to Jason, being kind of entitled.
Well, I mean, okay, you're saying it like it's a fact. Well, there's probably a gray area.
He said well-known within the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, that we haven't heard from Myles Garrett, or that, you know, you could have the thing where a coach comes out and says, I understand that report, but that's not true.
They better say that, or else it could be seen as, you know, throwing them under the bus.
I'm just saying, we hear a lot of reports. I'm not saying it's a fact that that's exactly how it works. Maybe that's just me. It's not a doubt the media thing. But again, and I think this is our point of argument on this, he's a pass rusher. I mean, do you have to go to the meetings? What are you learning?
Just you have to go to the meetings.
Just say hi. When they snap the ball, throw the tackle to the right and sack the quarterback. I always think of the greatest pass rusher I've ever seen play football is Lawrence Taylor, and I don't think he went to any team meetings.
Well, he was going to meetings at like a local crack house. I mean, Lawrence was other level.
Right. I just think that it's a position where I don't know that you have to be this team leader for it to work. I think a quarterback, obviously, has to be that team leader. I could see Myles Garrett not being that team leader, and it would work if you had a strong quarterback. Now, the problem is you're Cleveland, and you don't have a lot around him.
So I'm going to totally disagree with you on this, because I think that if you have someone who's as respected outside the building, like as respected, I'm sure, inside the building, as Myles Garrett, whose talent is so good, but you're trying to build like that thing we like culture and like this nebulous kind of thing that we talk about, being late to meetings, skipping mandatory team activities. Now, I don't know if what are those? Is that, you know, going to a team dinner? Is that, you know, going to a charity event? Or is it like a practice? We're not really sure. But I think all that stuff is really important, because I think that the rest of the team kind of looks to you. And this is why, like, the Michael Jordans and the Kobes, you know, and these guys are thought of as such great leaders, because they were maniacal about demanding that everyone rise to a certain level. And the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So if you're going to be lazy about getting to work on time, then are you going to be lazy when we need you or whatever? It's like a indicative of a bigger thing. And, you know, I'm not saying that's why the Browns are a disaster, but it doesn't help when your highest paid player outside of Deshaun Watson, your highest paid non-quarterback, is somebody who apparently, like, you know, can't get to the facility on time.
But isn't that the quarterback's job? Everything you just described, that's the quarterback. It's not the wide receiver, and it's not the defensive end. I think that other positions have different rules. Like, if the whole team's looking at the defensive end, it's got to, even for the defense, the quarterback sets the tone in your building, and that's a way bigger problem in Cleveland.
I mean,
and you know it is.
But do you think that Max Crosby doesn't set the tone?
Yeah, they win 3 games a year.
Okay,
so
but
who cares?
Well, I just think that Max Crosby, I think J.J. Watt set a tone. I think
he told you he set a tone.
Okay, well, you think he's a fraud? I mean, I think that...
No, I don't think he's a fraud, but
I think that Ray Lewis set a tone from the defense. Now, you could say, well, Ray Lewis wasn't a great guy, but I'm just saying, as far as leaders are concerned, I do think that there is, like, this stuff does trickle down. And then add on top of it the Browns' dysfunction, you know.
I agree. I mean, obviously it's not good, but I do think that it's a position where if you had everything working right, you could have sort of a talented guy who had a different set of rules. Like, I remember Bill Parcells, the famous story that when Lawrence Taylor would screw up, he'd yell at Phil Sims.
Yeah.
I just think that if they had a better culture to start with, then maybe you could absorb this and still be a winning team. I think the bigger problem is the Browns.
Right. Yeah, it is. And this doesn't help, though, especially now that you're rewarding this guy with this massive contract. Like, if you really had an issue, if he's this much of a, you know, if this is an issue that he's late skipping things and not holding people accountable in the locker room, then it's even more, you know, fuel to the fire of they should have traded him.
Yeah, but I mean, how could he be so productive if he's such an issue? That, to me, it doesn't track.
Yeah, it doesn't compute. Let's go to Jeff, who's in Tucson. He's our Browns fan. What do you think about this latest about Myles Garrett? They're saying in The Athletic, well known within the Browns that Garrett's frequently late to the facility, skip mandatory team activities on multiple occasions.
Well, I don't think he should be entitled to that kind of activity. But I also see your point that quarterback isn't somebody there right now that can take over the culture. And I think that with Chubb's being hurt and being out, you know, he's a beloved Browns fan, first and two.
Yeah.
And he was the culture for many years until he went through that injury. And so that kind of took away from the culture a little bit. Not to mention we lost our quarterbacks.
Right.
But the point is that Myles Garrett, okay, here you go. Here's all your money. Now start doing something. Earn that $40 billion a year.
Yeah, but see, Jeff, I hate to cut you off, pal, but I'm going to just say this, though, about when guys are a certain way, and say you're like a lead-by-example guy, right, and you're not a rah-rah guy. All of a sudden, you get a big contract, and then you come in, and all of a sudden, now you're Mr. Rah-Rah. That is inauthentic. It's not who you are. So,
okay, well,
yeah.
All right, I agree.
I think teammates will see through that. Yeah.
I agree with that part of it, but, however, aren't the team persons and other players, aren't they looking at Myles Garrett now and saying, hey, look, you know, you got to give us some kind of direction?
Jeff, they might be. And thank you for the phone call, dude. Have a good weekend. I don't know. Maybe he's a little more of a loner, lone wolf kind of guy.
I would think that team is in such havoc right now because of the Deshaun Watson deal. That I mean, maybe that plays into why Myles Garrett doesn't take things seriously because he sees what's going on around the rest of the organization. It's possible it's the organization.
I also think, you know, not this guy was only there for 1 year, so all the Browns dysfunction, I'm not laying at his feet. But when you, like Jameis Winston to me is also someone who's wildly entertaining, but I don't think of him as a serious person. And maybe that's a bad job by me.
Oh,
but
come on.
He's
now,
such
course,
a goof.
He's hysterical. He's a stand-up comic playing quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, everybody views him that way.
Right. So it's like, you know, was he the right person also to bring in? I know he's like a cheerleader and stuff and maybe a positive vibes guy, but like he's also kind of...
But he was brought in
the backup. He's a backup.
They never
but
wanted...
But he ended up playing.
They never wanted him to be... You know, it's funny. Even with Myles Garrett, they're a team that kind of has to win with offense. They put a lot of resources into that offense. So they kind of have to be a high-flying team to make this work. It's tough. They are a broken franchise. I mean, that money that they gave to Deshaun Watson is going to screw them forever anyway. For the next 3 or 4 years, the cap hits are enormous.
Let's go to Bogish, who's got headlines for us on this Friday.
Mom, Dad, we are told this morning that the Cowboys are making a push for Cooper Kupp. We're also told that doesn't mean Dallas is the leader to land the former Rams receiver. The boys are expected to add former Panthers and Eagles running back Miles Sanders. There remains some momentum for an Aaron Rodgers decision in the very near future. The Steelers and Giants appear to be the leaders in the clubhouse, with the Vikings still lurking. And the Chiefs are bringing in Gardner Minshew to back up Patrick Mahomes. Already the NBA all-time leader in three, Steph Curry now the first to hit 4,000 of them in his career. Two triples, 11 points in last night's 130-104 home win over the Kings. The Lakers lost their third in a row, 126-106 in Milwaukee, despite 45 from Luka. And here come the Bulls.
The outlet goes at midcourt to Kobe. Kobe, dribble drive, in the lane on Cam Johnson, lays it in with the right hand. Timeout, Brooklyn, and this crowd is going crazy here in Chicago.
If you say so, Chuck Swirsky on Bulls Radio. Coby White, 31, and a come-from-behind 116-110 home win over the Nets. Chicago on a season-best four-game run, giving them a five-game lead on Toronto for the last spot in the East play-in. Chicago now a robust 28-38 on the season.
That's a playoff team right there.
I would say, who would have thought that when Zach LaVine and De'Aaron Fox were traded, that the Bulls would be the team that actually is pushing for a playoff spot, not the Spurs or the Kings.
But aren't you so bummed that you're not getting in the lottery for these teams?
You should be.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas, we were talking about Dallas. Dallas Mavericks have to lose out and salvage a lottery pick out of this thing.
The Bulls, I think their plan was to lose out, and they just keep winning because
it's hard.
Kobe White and Josh Giddey have turned into really good players.
Yeah, you play the Nets. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm following my Sixers. Like, they cannot lose enough. It is a hard thing to do in this Eastern Conference. Your Nets, they got to start losing too. Everybody.
Well, they've lost 10 of 12, but they won too often before now.
They gave the Cavs a scare the other night too.
They play hard, too hard, Bogus.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of what they're doing. They get up, they were up by 12 last night, 18 in Cleveland, and then they lose. They don't just get wrecked from the beginning. They play hard for like 2.5, 3 quarters, and they go, okay, you guys can win.
Can you imagine in the NFL, remember when the Jags and the Jets were tanking to try and get Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, yeah.
What race to the bottom.
They're fighting for the bottom, but they're still a half game out of the playoff contention. The NBA is so wild with these bad records.
You had Greg Williams calling all-out blitzes on Hail Marys to get the Jets that number one pick.
And they lost that game.
They lost that game, but they still couldn't get the number one pick.
To Derek Carr, and I remember that Raider game, and they called the zero blitz just in time for Derek Carr to throw a touchdown, and then they had the audacity to fire Greg Williams on Monday. I'm like, we get it.
Yeah, he's the tank commander. Like, he's doing his job.
He should get a raise.
They single covered my man, Darren Waller, in that game from the get-go. He had 250 yards on them. They had 200 yards. Yeah, that was great. You got to tank with ferocity. You can't half tank.
That game was so wild because Henry Ruggs is only good for, you know, one thing on an NFL field, which is running down the field. And you're like, you know what? Let's just cover him with like a backup safety and blitz everybody and see what happens.
You know what's funny? Because I don't remember when Suck for Luck, the Andrew Luck. I don't remember the Colts, like Peyton Manning got hurt, and so it just sort of happened. I don't remember the Colts doing anything like super outlandish like that to try to lose.
I don't think they had to.
Maybe I'm just not remembering. I think they won one game that year or something.
Greg Williams might have just called a zero blitz to go out of it. I don't think he might have been like, let's kill this guy. That's Greg Williams.
From the 50-yard line with 5 seconds left?
Yes. No. Greg Williams wanted to end that game with a flash of whatever.
Yeah.
Is Greg Williams.
Greg Williams understood the assignment, and he was the only one who, I guess, understood it.
He clearly did. They fired him that day.
No, I think they did that. I think it was like to save face. I don't know why. They should have kept him the rest of the year. No, he was brilliant in that game.
Greg Williams calling a zero blitz is that's a Tuesday afternoon. That guy is insane.
The extra G in Greg is for go, go,
gumption.
Go. Yeah, just, that was nuts.
J-T-E. There might have been a bounty. I mean, let's face it. There might have been a bounty on Carr at that point.
I'm getting this $500. I'm getting this $500.
Put a bounty.com.
Yeah. Even the cornerback was supposed to be covering Ruggs blitz out of nowhere to try and get that $500.
It'd be funny if that was actually Greg Williams who was running that website.
Yeah, his email is greg@putabounty.com.
You know what's bad? Even Rex Ryan was like, that's the dumbest call I've ever seen. Rex Ryan, Mr. Blitz.
Yeah.
Bill's legend.
Yeah. Well.
The topic being tanking. In the NBA, it's getting harder and harder, folks.
Also, it's becoming a little less like a sure thing. Because you only have like a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. It's not what it used to be worth.
Yeah, changed the lottery odds to kind of avoid tanking, which is maybe why we're seeing this.
Well, I mean, you always think the lottery is fixed, though.
Yeah, I do.
So how about this? How about Cooper Flagg, San Antonio?
Gosh, no.
Please.
No, please.
Could happen. Don't the Spurs own somebody else's first round pick?
Atlanta.
So there's a way they could have like a top, like 1-3. Mm-hmm. And get Cooper and a Rutgers kid and go home?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to put him, they already gave him Wemby. They're not going to also give them Flagg. You don't want to know where I think he's going to go.
The New York Knicks.
Nope.
We don't have a first round pick.
Nope, you traded one of those and everyone in perpetuity for Mikal Bridges, but good job.
Worked last night.
I think he's going to Washington. I think that's the the fix.
Yeah, no, the NBA thinks, man, a robust Wizards team is what makes the ratings go. Why Washington? That's
they're,
a team that
they're going to disband that franchise, so he can't go to Washington.
People, they forgot it existed. They didn't. They couldn't disband it.
This is a tough.
Still got.
I love playing this game of finding the fix in the lottery every year. This year is hard.
San Antonio 4.5% to get number one right now.
Yeah, that's not high.
Well, you know what? If you're going to fix. I mean, the Washington's 14%. It's not that different. You had a great point. It is spread out. How about?
I think it's all hogwash anyway.
If the league tanked, I would say it's Toronto.
No. Relations right now with Canada? Are you crazy?
Oh, but no. That's my point. I think that Canadian basketball is shown to be important to them. Like it's a big. A lot of players there, and the Toronto Raptors are going nowhere.
Yeah,
They seem to have a soft spot for New Orleans.
I was just
also,
gonna mention
he's from
that.
Maine, so it's like kind of close to.
But
Canada.
New Orleans already botched Zion and Anthony Davis. If they gave them
but remember they helped them out with that Chris Paul thing. I don't know.
Yeah, they vetoed the trade to the Lakers. But that was David Stern.
Should I sim a lottery real quick on Tankathon?
Go ahead. It doesn't matter. The NBA is the one who's really simming it.
Can I interest you in Cooper Flagg going to Portland, Oregon, playing for the Trailblazers?
That's my second team.
I mean, we love that for our fans in Portland.
I mean, listen, that swoosh has a lot of power.
But Blazers are cursed, obviously.
Obviously.
So there's that.
Well, why not as simple as Brooklyn?
Yeah, what's the Nets threshold to make it not obvious?
Oh, don't do it.
That's, 10%. Ooh. It's definitely plausible that they could win the lottery. Absolutely.
How about this one?
How's our U.S.-China relations right now? I'm telling you, you guys got to think more global. Yeah, exactly.
Not good.
I don't think our relations with anybody are really awesome, to be honest. How's our relationship with, I don't know.
How's our relationship within the country?
I was going to say.
Let me ask you a question. Where do you guys want to see him? Because I'll tell you my best scenario.
If you say Philadelphia, we got to push you out of the studio.
Dallas Mavericks, 1.0 chance to get number one. If they make the worst trade... The single worst trade in NBA history and end up with a generational player number one, it is the highest comedy possible.
Well, to be honest, the league does give do-overs because they let I believe I'm right on the order of this. Didn't the Cavs draft Anthony Bennett, the biggest bust of all time, and then get Kyrie Irving? Am I right on the timing
of
that?
Yes.
Bennett first.
Yes, Bennett was first.
Irving second. So they do allow redos. Do-overs, they allow second chances.
Well, yeah, by the way, and this is Maggie saying, it's so obviously not fixed because there's no rhyme or reason to any of these picks. Why would Atlanta be number... Was Atlanta number one last year?
Yeah, I was wrong, by the way. It was Kyrie, then Anthony Bennett. Sorry.
Yeah. Still. They get do-overs.
Yeah, I mean, look at the last few number ones. Explain why Atlanta got one, San Antonio won. Why did Orlando get number one?
San Antonio is easy. That's clear. That is the...
Popovich?
Yeah, like, this is what they do. They get terrible, and they get a generational big, and you're continuing that story.
But don't you need him in a big market? Also, Detroit with Kate Cunningham.
Also, international players play great in San Antonio.
Long legacy. Lineage, yeah, Tony Parker.
A great legacy. Like, it makes sense there. Atlanta... So, my Atlanta theory has always been this is a terrible draft, so let's just put him somewhere where it doesn't matter.
Well, I think if the Sixers back-to-back with Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons.
Well, the Sixers messed that up because they made a trade.
Oh, wait, they were 3-1.
Yeah,
that was the process, y'all.
That's supposed to be Boston.
Exactly. All right, Bogues.
I want to see them end up with Houston, by the way, because they technically have Phoenix's first-round pick. That would be the spot.
Cooper?
Yes, that would
be
the most. Him, Amen Thompson, and Green, the athleticism, that would be insane.
It'd be fun. We're fans of the Houston area.
I like the Harper kid, too. I think he's that. I gladly take him on Philly.
Very good.
Make the tournament, punk.
Oh, I'm is that sorry, Maggie?
Yeah. You stealing my takes?
We took Markelle Fultz.
Yep, you did. You also took Ben Simmons, another college player who couldn't make the tournament.
Yeah, this guy, he looks like he's 26. I'm ready to go. I think he could even be as good as Flagg. But anyway, go ahead.
We got to take a quick break. Quick break, quick timeout. Got an update for you on the Aaron Rodgers saga. Sit tight. All right. I think we've waited as long as humanly possible on this topic. We'll quickly get you caught up on Aaron Rodgers in a moment, but I do want to give Pearl off the floor for 1 second here because the reigning world champion Philadelphia Eagles have let a lot of talent out of the building over the last week, and you wanted to talk about, is it too much talent? And I tried to put off this topic and push it off and push it off because we've been so Eagles to death over the last couple weeks. Now, rightfully so. I'm not bitter. But the floor is yours.
No.
Have they cut too close to the bone?
I would say I'd be avoiding this topic because I think if you look at a list of free agent losers, they're number one on the list, right? I think there's no team.
A Super Bowl, so like, don't you get permission there to make some cuts?
Well, here is the thing: we won the Super Bowl, so everyone thinks Howie Roseman, the general manager, is a genius. So all these cuts, which on the surface are awful, every Eagles fan is like, "Well, Howie will figure it out. Howie will figure it out. Howie will figure it out." It is pretty scary at this point because there is way less talent. They signed Adoree Jackson last night. I have no idea if he has anything left, but
he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really hard to repeat. That is very evident to me.
So Josh Sweat, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Milton Williams are kind of the top line guys. And I really don't understand why
CJ Gardner-Johnson too, did you?
I said CJ Gardner.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I just don't understand why you gave Saquon all that money. Like, you just gave Saquon more money than his team. Did you really need to reward him with $40 million?
I checked the cap space though on that. I think it was one of those kicking the can down the roads. I don't think that had a lot to do with cap space. I think they freed up a little cap space. And also too, again, yeah, he's the MVP of the league, basically. I do think that's a symbolic signing that you
Josh
think
Allen's
important.
The MVP of the league. But you won the Super Bowl. So
right. I mean but you know what I mean. I do think there is messaging in free agent signing. People talk about it a lot. So if you don't give Saquon a little extra money for what he did, I don't think that would go over well.
Well, no, Jalen Hurts, who was the Super Bowl MVP, he gets no contract. No new contract.
Right, but he got a big one. I mean, listen, you said Saquon gets paid. Saquon, how much is he making?
$14 million? Something like that?
I mean, I think he got higher than that now, but he's insignificant when Milton Williams is getting $105 million. So the question is, how do they rebuild that line? Here is what I want to do. I want to clear up cap space for 2 years. You get Jalen Carter, who they have to resign, coming up the middle. Micah Parsons coming around the edge. That's Super Bowl number 3. Yeah. We will hopefully be there to celebrate. It's going to be great. We'll be at the party. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you will.
I would be honest. I would not be surprised if there was a step back this year.
The league's kind of set up for parity, it's going to be hard. I mean, the Chiefs were trying to do something unprecedented.
Yeah, it reminded me what an accomplishment it was for the Chiefs to repeat, because the last time the Eagles won, they immediately took a step back, and it was a decided one. I think this could happen now. Am I being too pessimistic as a fan?
Well, I don't think you're losing both coordinators now. Obviously, you're not.
Yeah, that's a big...
Well, you lost Kellen Moore, but you didn't lose Vic Fangio, so that's some continuity.
That's a great point, but I'm not picking the Eagles next year.
I also wonder if A.J. Brown's on his way out the door.
Oh, yeah, to reunite with Vrabel?
I think that could be one of the guys. Now, Mike Vrabel was saying, I think we got the quote here. Vrabel on whether or not the Patriots are going to be able to sign another wide receiver.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm not going to talk about any of the other players other than the ones that are right here and the ones that are currently on our football team. We'll continue to target. Matt Collins will be in here tomorrow. He's a wide receiver. But we'll continue to look at the wide receiver position as it relates through free agency, explore every option with other teams, and potentially, then we'll get to the point where we're looking in the draft.
Yeah. Translation, we're not done yet. I think still trying to find that guy, and maybe A.J. Brown could end up being it. Okay, quickly, that's a little what's going on with the NFL, and we'll see if Aaron Rodgers ends up signing today.
Or Cooper Kupp, by the way.
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
We do want to make some announcements about next week. So we're super excited, Pearl, and we are going to be back for Pearl Jam Season 4. Can you believe it? Our pal Nick in Texas, who's been a ride or die since day one, will be putting out the official Maggie and Pearl Off Pearl Jam Season 4 bracket, which your wife Sarah will most likely win.
Somebody's relative will win.
Yeah, so we're going to have all that information for you on Monday about where to sign up so you can be part of our bracket challenge. It's going to be super fun. You'll get shout outs on the air. We're going to be keeping tabs on this. So everyone who's part of the M&P universe, get ready, because that's going to be awesome. We've got some logos that are really going to blow your mind.
I've actually been thinking about it. I'm going every analytic possible. I am going deep into the numbers. When I say I'm going into the analytics, I'm going to read the people who use the analytics. Yeah. I am going to have the smartest strategy ever. It might not be my strategy, but this year I'm not going to screw around. I'm not going to go with emotion. I'm not going to go with players I've seen play before. I am going pure numbers. I'm going to figure this bad boy out.
Well, plagiarism is a myth anyway.
Good. I don't know about that. But good luck to you with that strategy, Pearl. If I'm going to go with uniforms.
Yeah, by the way, okay. So you say I'm plagiarizing. Would you think I'm out there scouting all 68 teams?
Yes, maybe? Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm going to be doing.
You think he's Ken Palm in his spare time?
Yeah, him, Ken, and Palm, of course. getting together.
Jerry and Palm. Ken and Palm. All those guys.
See, EJ's at a definite disadvantage in this. He's got stakes in the game. He uses his emotion because he's a Gonzaga fan. Like, I worry about your ability to be analytical.
Got two teams in it this year.
Oh,
St. John's, baby.
Yes, right. You're going to go with your heart, not your head.
So also, we are going to, while the bracket is going on, we will also be doing a Maggie and Perloff wacky bracket, because it wouldn't be the Maggie and Perloff show if we didn't also do something totally silly, nonsensical, and a whole lot of fun. So we'll announce what that is on Monday.
Right, a whole lot of controversy. I'm talking about shut down the show in the middle of the show controversy. There's going to be fighting about this one.
It took us months just to make the bracket. We couldn't agree on anything. You're going to love it. You really are. We're excited.
And you're going to get mad.
And you're going to love it and you're going to hate it. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogus, Andrew Kaplan, Widow's Coffee Drinkers. Great week. See you Monday. Tune in.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.